Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I'm your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, and, of course, the Everything app. We're also streaming audio only on the Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, and you can always stream us on the radio. Not stream us. You can always listen to us live on the radio, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. He is now a member of the Guinness Book of World Records. He's also on the Everything app at King George 94. I think we both technically are.
Were you wearing the hat?
I put the Santa hat on as soon as I got there.
Thank you. So did I.
Yeah, I very much did that. It stayed on until a couple of times when the sun was shining. It got a little toasty.
It did. I mean, you were just one section over, so you got a little bit of that reprieve before I did.
Yeah.
I think what was that, probably about maybe 10, 15 minutes before me, but man, it got a little steamy when that sun came out, even with that wind and all the stuff keeping us cool.
So George and I were in Oxford. We'll tell you a little bit about that here in just a moment. Let's welcome, of course, my company on Mondays. He's the maestro of fun and games in Memphis. He's the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. We are done for 2026, or 2025, I beg your pardon. We'll see you with Writer Than Right Trivia back in 2026. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. He's on the Everything app at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Season's greetings. Yes, Writer the Right Trivia's done for the year, but we do have trivia nights happening tomorrow night. Christmas movie trivia on Festivus tomorrow night. So come on out to three different locations. We'll be in Cordova at Leonard's Barbecue. We'll be downtown at Max's, which is the best place to watch a game now, yeah, I think, in the entire Memphis area, back there on their new enclosed heated patio.
Ooh.
And then, of course, we'll be at Jack Brown's in Midtown. As we are every Tuesday. So that's tomorrow night. We do have trivia still happening, and next week is year in review trivia on Tuesday as well. But yeah, well, shout out to Rich Eisen. Saw him in the hallway coming in here, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he was just hanging out. Yeah. You thought he was in LA doing the simulcast.
Yeah, oh, man. No, it's great to have him here with us today and this week. Yeah. But no, so much, man. The college, I enjoyed the playoff weekend. And I can't wait to hear about you guys being there in Oxford, because I mean, that's part of, you know, what it's all about. It's the goal, right, for it to happen, and which also now separates college football from college basketball, is that you can have a postseason play at your home venue, you know, and to be able to experience that here in only year two of the college football playoffs being at this format. That's I can't wait to hear more from the firsthand report from you and George. So the record is the Santa hat record you're referencing?
I think it was the most Santa hats in one location at one time. So as my,
something like that.
And what's the number then? What was the
Final attendance? 68?
68 and change.
I mean, listen.
That place was
packed. Whose idea was this?
Packed.
There were whispers going in like, there's still tickets available. If that wasn't a hard sellout, then I don't know what a hard sellout is, because it was shoulder to shoulder and early. And so George and I will talk about that, because I feel like I have an interesting perspective on it. Like, I grew up going to these games with my dad. Then I started covering the program, and you just really, if you cover Hugh Freeze, you're just not going to be a fan of something. Like, I'm not openly against them. I married a girl that roots for Ole Miss, and she was happy and thrilled and delightful, but there were things that I had never seen there on Saturday. So we can talk about that in just a moment. We'll get into our TV time out. We've had more news on the FanDuel Sports, the Main Street Media, the people that own the RSN that the Grizzlies are a part of, and kind of how that future might shape up for the NBA and how we watch Grizzlies games, because right now it's not looking great. And so I want to discuss that with Kevin here in just a bit. Get into the list. Bobby Petrino.
Yes.
And Bill Belichick. I mean,
what a combination.
Who doesn't need this in their life? So we'll talk about that and more. Then CJ Hurt's going to join the program during hour number two. We'll tell your story and then we'll get out of here. But I think this was my first overreaction, because I have gone to Grizzlies basketball games as a fan. I've attended Major League Baseball games as a fan. I think I've been to one NFL game since I've really become like a member of the media as a fan. But it's really something that has left my life. Just attending a game as a fan, as just a spectator or whatnot. It's either been going to games as a member of the working media or going there for some other professional reason. And I got to say, if you are someone, George is included in this, that goes to games week in, week out, God bless you. Because I was not in shape for that. The games are incredibly long.
Yes.
And this was even, I felt like the Ole Miss game was, Ole Miss like took every in-game promo that they could possibly have and they just like put it into a, what was the old paintball gun, the Angel, right? That was the automatic one that was essentially like a machine gun for paintball guns. Like, it was just blasted at you. It didn't matter if it was like every time out there was like blasting like the club music or having a promo honoring a former player. There was something. So like in between timeouts, it was like anything that they could do to try and hold your attention, they just blitzkrieged it on Saturday. But I just found myself in the third quarter just going like, this game will not end. And the people that go there every single week, I'm not saying it's Ole Miss, maybe it's the Tiger games, whatever it is, God bless all of you, because I don't think I can handle that anymore.
It's too
it's
too
exhausting.
Was it because of the, it was lopsided in the way that it was, so there wasn't constant excitement possibly happening? You weren't on the edge of
your
seat.
I think that would have been worse if you were
like
on
there
the
was stress, extra
yeah,
stress.
If there were every
there?
Single play, if you're like hanging on, oh yeah. God, I think that would have been worse.
Okay,
your point about it dragging on, especially come the third quarter. I mean, how much more could John Sumrall have extended the end of the first half? Because
they kept running like, so they were like basically like at their own 20, and they were just running 8-yard outs with 22 seconds left. And you're looking, you're like, are they just trying to get to midfield so that maybe they can throw a Hail Mary? Like, they couldn't even, it just was extending.
And then they didn't even get the Hail Mary off.
Correct. So you had just like 22 seconds of just wasting time. Then like the whole time, like just get, Ole Miss just needed to get one more first down, like then take knees. And then you start to be like, well, these guys get to play too and it's their chance. And then they hit a deep pass and you're like, oh God, no, just run the clock out. Please God, just run the clock out. But I mean, it is, is a long, long game.
Were there many Tulane fans in attendance? Because I couldn't see them from my television set.
I felt like Tulane was, whatever their allotment of tickets was, that's what I felt like they brought in. So 5,000.
Would there have been room for Memphis fans if Memphis had earned this spot?
Not a lot.
It would have been hard to get in there.
It would have been hard to get in.
You'd have to pay a lot.
Because
for
the
a
one
ticket.
Thing I will say, whatever the early reports of like Ole Miss fans selling the tickets and that there was going to be a lot of room, it was shoulder to shoulder. And I do think the most impressive thing that Lane Kiffin has left Ole Miss, I have never seen that crowd be there that early, that loud, and that into it. Like, you can only, there's only so much you can control from the game.
Right.
You know, I mean, the game was what it was. But in terms of pregame, like when the band was on the field, the entire crowd was super into it. It was loud. I mean, I remember telling the story of the 4th and 25 play. Ugh. when Arkansas hits the fourth down play with Alex Collins, and or there's Hunter Henry throws it back to Alex Collins, and Arkansas ends up winning the game in overtime, costing Ole Miss a shot at the SEC West. I was with a guy I was working with. We were in the end zone right behind the goal, and on the snap of fourth down, he and I are just talking to each other, no problems asked. Like, we're having a normal conversation, whatnot. On Saturday, I mean, that's the loudest I can ever remember that place being. Like, it was loud, and they were into it, and they stayed basically until the bitter end.
So it felt like a playoff atmosphere.
Yes.
And you've been to Grizzlies playoff games. What other postseason could you compare it to?
Because not even like first round tournament games. And like even, yeah. I think
one
of the.
Those are, the buildings are not full.
Exactly. And like one of the greatest games I've ever covered was Kentucky, North Carolina, the Elite Eight game that was at FedEx Forum. I think that was the 2017 tournament. Just a phenomenal basketball game, high level, everything. And the building was full, but it's also, there's something about when it's like.
Well, it's not full with people who have rooting interests.
Correct. It was obviously Kentucky fans and Carolina fans, which travel, but then it was just Memphis people that just wanted to see the event. This was a completely different thing. This feels like a big game on campus.
Right. I mean, you had a team to cheer for. You know, you're right. Like the Super Bowl crowd doesn't really care who wins Super Bowl. But, you know, it's the reason wrestling has heels and baby faces, because it's just better for the crowd to know who they're cheering for and who they're cheering against.
I can't think of a single event where I understand from a competition standpoint, if you want a championship game to be at a neutral site, like if you want it to be like, we want it to be decided, no team has an advantage.
Right. But you can earn it.
The only sport we do it in is football.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I mean, I guess college basketball and then – in the some of the other college sports where you have a
college
destination.
The postseason for college basketball. But so George, you were more of the Ole Miss fan here. So what was the experience like for you on Sunday? What did you take away from that?
Honestly, now this could also just be because on one hand, when I was in school, when I was in the band, as a big, you know, as a part of the game day, you know, kind of fanfare, quite literally, it has never been like that before. Even going in, and like for what it's worth, me and my family, we had a tent.
Did you go to Georgia last year?
Oh yeah,
because that was the thing it kept getting comped to.
Electric. For that game.
But the other difference is the Georgia game last year, while Ole Miss had a great crowd, the weather was miserable.
Night game, it was raining the entire game.
Saturday afternoon was like Chamber of Commerce, you can't draw this up.
It was gorgeous.
It was like 65 degrees, sun was shining.
Perfect football weather, especially for December. And then,
the day before was in the 40s and miserable.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's like we were there so early, you know, we do the whole shebang, the whole tailgate and everything. We get there first thing in the morning.
I cannot believe you still. I can't believe anyone has the energy to do that.
It takes a lot to get up for. Don't worry.
I mean, I'm not.
You and I have worked together in the morning. You know what it takes to get me up.
I kid you not. Last night, Aaliyah and I looked at each other at 8 p.m. and we were like, bed? Yeah. And I told her, I was like, let's see if we can make it to halftime of Sunday Night Football before we go get in bed. We got close. But, I mean, this wasn't even like, we're out of it. We partied too hard. This was just, no. We were just standing.
Standing and our walking. Thing was, and
we drove down, ate lunch, saw my brothers and my dad, went to the game. I mean, I think I had like 3 high noons at the game. Came back, grilled
soft,
grilled steaks, watched the nighttime games, and like, that was it.
This is the Christmas Jeffrey turned old here, y'all.
No, I mean, it was just so sad. just the whole time, just like, I can't, like, I don't know how people do it every single week.
You often talk about it, Jeffrey, from the pocketbook perspective.
Yes,
but
this isn't even from a financial, I'm talking about physically.
Time. Like, because also, it not only did it last your entire Saturday, but also, like, you were not able to maximize your Sunday because of it, because you were so tired from your Saturday.
Correct.
So yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever paid less of attention to the afternoon games.
But that's football. That's why football is great, because there's, 6 or 7 of these?
Yeah.
6, 7 of these a year?
on average, whatever, you know, seven home games. But this year, I guess Ole Miss got nine. Is that the ninth home game?
That sounds right, yes.
The other thing that really stands out, and I don't know how replicable this is here, but the last time I think I'd been back to Oxford was 2022.
Okay.
The amount of condos, retail space, everything that has been put up simply in 3 years' time is unbelievable. And obviously, with it being more of a college town, whatnot, but it's like, I do wonder, it's like, let's take, for instance, one of the local issues with Liberty Park, and the city's on the hook for that with right. the new event center, wanting a hotel and whatnot. But it's like, if the Tigers get really good at football under Charles Huff, like, is there enough economic development around it to where, like, that can be a new, because it's like the new retail spaces, the spots that have been renovated for food and whatnot. It's like, I know Tiger football games, seven games a year. And like, we're talking about it with Ole Miss, it's a year-round thing. And obviously you have more students, so you need more housing and whatnot. But a lot of the stuff I was looking at was not geared towards, hey, college kids, come live here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are like higher end, like,
it's, hey, come, this is your,
come buy
where
this,
you go.
Come buy this million-dollar condo, $2 million condo in this super high space. And I'm not even talking.
You either for you to use
right.
for game weekends or for you to Airbnb for the game weekends. Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about this like, oh, Memphis could do all. I'm just talking about if they were better, if the building were full, would there be an economic windfall? Because I do think that this is true, and I don't think we can ignore this. In my lifetime, the best periods of downtown that I'm talking about, everyone went down and enjoyed it. It no longer became like a chore to go downtown or a joke to go downtown. Something like, it just became like something you did, is the core, the grit and grind core four era.
For sure. No. And
it's like, there has to be something related.
Well, I mean, with football, there's so much fewer dates. And I think it's different when you're looking at like the Grove and Oxford, and you got the campus, and you've got, it's just a smaller community. I to try to replicate that in Memphis is different, and that's.
But like,
I mean,
okay, but like,
it's
here's
an
the
unspoken
other,
thing that really
this is the
does
thing
hold
was,
Memphis back. Is that's why I need like there to be a New Year's resolution at this station that nobody says new stadium, because it's not a new stadium that is being built, right? Don't say new stadium. They got to remodel. We got to make sure we use the word
new wing of the stadium.
It's a new like, but
it's a renovated building.
It's renovated. But it's not even a renovated building. It's a renovated side.
Yeah, renovated with the new renovated side. Like the shorthand, like it's been shorthanded a lot here over the past few months. Like next year, you have a new coach and, you know, the new stadium or whatever. Like it's like a, you'll have a remodeled thing that's going to be of interest to people who've been to the building before, but of no interest to anybody who's never been there before. So it's not going to be that much nicer for outsiders. Anyway, it's a lofty goal. It'd be great, Jeffrey. I don't think there would be an economic boom there. I think that's the fairgrounds is a tough place to do much with.
Well, like that's
but
the question.
I mean, it's
like,
very close
it,
to Cooper Young.
Can it become like, you know, because this was, I think Ed Scott had mentioned, you know, once they're in the stadium, hey, we're now in the event game. And so it's like, you know, they tried to get the Chris Brown concert. That fell through.
Yeah.
Like, I presume they're going to be heavily involved in motocross and like some of those other big stadium things. But more events. But really what I was trying to think of was, how much of it is just emotion related to, Ole Miss fans feel pretty good. I mean, their basketball team is not great right now, but like, how much of it is just enthusiasm for the athletic program and everybody wanting to go down? Because one of these half-baked takes that I kind of had that I hadn't really gotten to fire off, but here goes. I almost wonder in the new universe if, like, the only success path, like, the successful path is you kind of just have to lean into whatever your cult is. Like, if you're, you know, because people, like, love to laugh at, like, let's use Texas A&M on Saturday.
Okay.
If you've ever been down there, your first reaction is, this is a weird place. But your second reaction is, man, these people love their Aggies. Like, it's undeniable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm thinking about it with with another place that we talk about that is highly enthusiastic, like Tennessee right now. Like, do you just have to tap into, even if your cult is just the school, it's like, do you have to just become the secondary destination for your people? Because at Ole Miss, the other thing that they're doing is where they're going to, air quotes, renovate their stadium. It's now going to be a public-private entertainment district, art, you know, shops, whatnot, public-private. And so I'm sitting there going like, all right, on the one hand, you totally understand it. From a business perspective, that's probably how this has to go. But we're now at the point where on college campuses, this has become like a public-private investment opportunity.
And I would not be excited about that.
It's one of those things that, like, you understand it. I don't think you have to sit there and be like a bad person. You go, that kind of makes me still feel a little icky.
Well, I mean, because it's a difference. Like, you're going to an NBA game, you're going to go to a restaurant or a bar or tap room or somewhere before. But, like, if you're going to go to a college football game, you're going to go to your friend's tailgating tent, and you're not going to, you know, you're going to either bring your own stuff or get stuff there, you know, at the tent. Like, it's like the idea that you're going to be shopping or doing on the actual game day, that seems like a disconnect. I don't think Memphis fans are really interested.
Well, I think it's like this, though. So if you look at the spots that they're looking at it, do I think this is going to be the end of the Grove? No. But it's also in between basically the football stadium and the pavilion. Do I think this is going to be a spot before basketball games? You want to go get a premium lager and then walk in?
That, you know,
and I'm sure
sense.
Part of this is also, let's be real, it's probably going to be condos. It's probably going to be living space on top of that. Like, that's where all this is headed. It's the mixed-use stuff. And, like, the same things that you think about around these major arenas and stadiums that the Grizzlies want to be around FedEx Forum. It's
which
coming to college,
seen,
too.
We're hitting towards the end of the year here, and we have not seen anything about that. And Memphis, and at some point, you know, the market size and whatever, Oxford, they know where to put this stuff, right, because of it works where they're going to put it. And Memphis, you can't be trying to – it is. I mean, we're trying to invest in the fairgrounds.
No, see,
fair
I think
grounds,
this is the
also,
difference. I think this is the difference. In Oxford, because it's really not that big – these spots that you don't think of, like, I'm seeing spots where they're putting up these incredible condos and apartments and whatnot.
You didn't realize it was a spot.
Right. This was just woods. Right. And so now what they're doing is like, now it's like, I think they're trying to take the same plan that Oklahoma has. Oklahoma wants a new basketball arena. But instead of sitting there going like, all right, we got to come up with $250 million. It's all right, let's take some bids. Who wants to have this public partner, you know, public-private partnership? And we're going to build an entertainment district around our new arena, and that's going to make money for me. It's going to make money for the school. And, like, that's – like, it's now just – the reality is it is professional sports no matter how they want to dress it up, but the entire business model is professional.
Sure, yeah. And I think what – I mean, Memphis continues. It's wild that, you know, we're getting closer to – you know, the ages of people who we keep passing up the opportunity, and there's not really an opportunity anymore to build a new stadium of any sort for Memphis like that. Especially now with the passing of Fred Smith, I don't think there's anybody who's just going to just throw the money at the idea of a totally brand new stadium. And, but that's what should have been done. It should have been done a long time ago in a different spot. But here we are with what we have. I think Memphis has done a great job on just making the area, like, this, like, try to improve the current home that we have. And
no, I agree.
From Tiger Lane to now the remodel inside, I mean, they're doing the best with what they got. It's not going to be anything that impresses anybody who has not been to the building before. It's not going to impress your way into a new conference. It's not going to get you new fans. And
okay, I guess hang with me here, because I think this is an actual philosophical question
sure.
that I have. Can you invent entertainment spots, or do they have to grow organically? Because this would be the question that I would have. If we're just talking about football games being the driver of that entire area, that feels like that's not enough dates, and I don't know how sustainable that is. But now, if you're one of the people that are still holding on to the Coliseum, but like, hey, man, there's a lot of spots that we can knock down over there and build up that area.
There's still spots where you don't have to knock anything down. But also, I mean, they did just build the sports complex, which was really nice, right? But I don't know if that's what we need there, right? If you're going to play football games.
Well, I don't know. I know we need to. I do know this. We got to figure out some way to generate tax revenue over that because we're on the hook for it.
Oh, no, that's for sure. But back to if we can, I just, because I'm fascinated with this past weekend and where we're going with Ole Miss, because now they've got they're going to which bowl do they have to travel to?
Sugar. They're going. Hey, congratulations, George. You're going to the first real Sugar Bowl of your life. Not a citrus bowl or not an Outback bowl dressed up as the Sugar Bowl. You're going to a real freaking Sugar Bowl. Congratulations.
I'm not going to be there.
Well, I'm just saying the Rebels are.
Close enough.
They loved with Freeze to act like that was we shall return. And I was like, this is the first like team ranked 16th that had played in the Sugar Bowl in like centuries.
So that's January 1, the All-State Sugar
Bowl. They're the last game of the quarterfinals. So the quarterfinals will start with the Cotton Bowl on Friday night.
New Year's Eve.
That's Miami and Ohio State in Jerry's world.
That could be fun.
Saturday, weirdly, it's the biggest spread.
Really?
Yeah.
Reuben Bain was on one.
What's the biggest spread?
Biggest spread is Ohio State, I believe, -9.5
Okay.
Over Miami. Then Saturday, early.
January 1, the
Saturday,
11
early
Central.
Will be in my. This game's going to have a rain delay. The Orange Bowl is going to be the Orange Bowl is going to be the early game, Texas Tech, Oregon. I believe that's 11 a.m. Central.
Yes.
And then, we of course have to make sure the Rose and the Sugar Bowl get their godforsaken time slots.
Yep.
The Rose Bowl will be Alabama and in Indiana, and then Ole Miss and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl.
And the Ole Miss is what, a touchdown?
I think both Alabama and Ole Miss are 6.5-point dogs. And I believe Oregon opened as like a 1 or 2 point favorite over Tech.
Really?
Yeah. Now, a lot of these games have fluctuated.
I was about to say, because I could have sworn I saw open. I think Kevin was right on the opening lines for both Alabama and Ole Miss. 7-point dog. But I don't know how it's similar, changed.
Yeah, it's still 6.5, 7. Which game interests you the most here as we're getting close? I mean, we're going to have some time. Yeah, you know, even next week to break these down even more. But, like, you know, we look at there's a lot of rematch potential. Here we go, Ole Miss, Georgia. Like, Alabama-Indiana is what
I think I
want to see how that goes.
Has to be Alabama-Indiana because there's also, if we're talking about this game that could represent the universe that we're in, it could be that. Alabama and Indiana are playing in a football game with stakes, and Indiana's favored by a touchdown.
Right.
And there's like,
is what we're living in real? Is we're going to find out in this game. Like, is it?
I mean, we're talking about the program that I believe still has the most losses. I thought maybe Northwestern had jumped up, but it's like the program that entered the year with the most losses in the history of college football against the team with the most national championships. Real and invented.
Yes.
And there's also this new age versus is this with Alabama like a dying brand or a brand that is wounded versus this maybe perhaps this is the new power. Like there's so much involved in that one game. And then obviously there's the helmets of it all.
Right. I mean, if you're an Alabama hater, how easy and fun it will say, like, y'all lost to Indiana in the playoffs? What happened? Y'all are nothing without Saban. You can ignore the facts of what is happening and really rub it in on an Alabama fan because no matter what's going on, they would not want to accept the idea that they're losing to
Well, I also think
to
I'm...
Indiana. But they could beat Indiana and shake things up. But
Indiana will be without one of its best defensive players who got hurt celebrating. But there's also this question of last year we saw the teams that didn't play the first home game, you know, right. the first round.
Yeah, the bye teams. Yeah.
They looked all pretty rusty when they got into their first game.
Forever. Like when was their yeah.
Some of these schools have like a 40-day
layoff.
The whole
month of December off.
Like most of them will have at least a month off. Now, will we see that again? Because the other thing is if you want to compare just last year to this year, Last year we saw the home teams dominate, and this year we saw one home team win and cover, and the only two home teams that won were the teams that were favored by three scores, Ole Miss and Oregon.
Right.
But the other two road dogs won outright. And so will that translate over? We are seeding the tournament differently this year, so
that's true.
There's that factor. But then,
Boise got to get a bye last year.
Boise got a bye. Arizona State got a bye.
Yeah.
And I think the other questions, though, that I have is, like, teams that have felt flawed, like, does that get exposed? Like, I don't know, because, like, that's – there's this universe where we talk about it. It's like it feels like Ohio State and Indiana separated themselves from the field this year. But the couple of times where Ohio State has not looked great, it's been because they've gotten some pressure and Miami's got two probably top 10 picks on the defensive line and they completely took over a game and that's why they won on Saturday. Could they replicate that and give Ohio State some problems? Ohio State didn't really run the ball great against Indiana. Like, there's going to be plenty of studs up front on Miami. Is that enough? I don't know. Like, then we go with, well, we've seen Ole Miss and Georgia play. It felt like when they played back in October, Ole Miss threw a hell of a punch, had a two-score lead, but Georgia had an unbelievable fourth quarter, and they win the game by 8 points. But it has felt like Georgia has gotten better as the season's gone on. But what if we get into a game where they're not at home, this is a neutral site, and all of a sudden maybe they punt once or twice, and all of a sudden Ole Miss is in the game? Like, I don't know. Like, I think for the most part, I'm interested in all four of these quarterfinals.
Well, I mean, they're all very interesting. And let's see, I'm looking at – so it's Miami, Ohio State.
Is 9.5 right now. I'm over on – I'll give you the consensus.
All right, let's see. So Ohio State 9.5.
Ohio State 9.5.
Okay.
Oregon and Texas Tech opened at 1.5 in favor of Oregon. It is pretty much stayed at 1.5.
Okay. They're expecting this one to be the closest game.
Alabama and Indiana opened at 6.5. It is pretty much stayed at 6.5. Indiana's favored. And then Ole Miss and Georgia also opened at 6.5. Like, there's maybe a 7 out there a little bit. For the most part, it stayed at 6.5.
And what do you think about Ole Miss going into this Georgia game?
So, like, I think the first question I would have is, what is the status of Kiwon Lacy? Because Lacy looked like he hurt his shoulder, and then it looked like he might have hurt the other shoulder.
I think post-game Golding said it was a shoulder, and it was just a...
It certainly looked like... That was right in front of us. That was on the side that was in front of us, and he had the look of every single football player I've ever seen that hurts their shoulder. Whether it's like it popped out.
Hanging down a little bit.
It's your shoulders are slightly slumped. One hand is over your wrist and it hurts here. So he had that one. I thought the biggest, and again, maybe this could be noise, could be sample size, whatnot. I thought they missed Kiffin on third down. I thought they missed the whistling and changing the third down play, because I think Ole Miss up until, I think in the first half, they only converted one third down. Like, that was where I thought they missed him the most.
No, I tend to agree.
But, I mean, they came out focused. Like, they had all the energy in the world. I still contend, I think that receiving core is criminally underrated.
I was surprised. Like, even when they started bringing out the second, third string guys in the receivers, I was like, man, these guys are still running some crisp routes, and they're getting open.
The problem I think that team's just going to have is
defense.
If you go up against a team that can run the – because their strategy defensively is they don't have, like – they have solid players, but they don't have guys that are going to test off the charts size, speed – or size, height, speed, weight. They play kind of bend but don't break, get you into the 20s, tighten up, make you kick some field goals. The reason why I would be worried about the Georgia matchup is I think Georgia was the one team that could really run it on them that was on their schedule, and they got zero stops. I don't know how that changes, really.
So did this weekend change who you think is going to win this whole thing?
I came into this weekend thinking Georgia – Ohio State, Indiana.
You get to have three picks?
I'm saying those are the teams that actually can win it.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Indiana.
I'm closer to Texas Tech.
Really?
I worry about Texas Tech in a game. Like, those other teams, I think, have higher ceilings on offense. I think Texas Tech's defense is as good as any of those defenses, maybe even Ohio State included, because while Texas Tech's secondary is nowhere near as good as Ohio State's, Texas Tech's front's a lot better. And I always know this. If you have the choice between – if you always give me dudes up front versus dudes in the back end, I take dudes up front every time. So I'm kind of closer on them. I was still holding out thoughts of if Dante Moore with Oregon could kind of have the NFL playoff run where hot quarterback just takes over, I think he needs to go back to school. I think he needs some more seasoning.
I'm with you. Like, I feel like the teams we didn't see this weekend, obviously, are the favorites.
I have a question for you. What did you think? What atmosphere looked the best on TV? So obviously, I saw Oklahoma, Alabama on TV. I watched Miami A&M on TV, and then the Oregon JMU game was over with so quickly, and then quickly I flipped to the Bears Packers.
But it seemed like a great atmosphere there as well.
So to you, what looked like the best?
I envy the fact that y'all were able to experience this down in Oxford. Everybody who got to go down there, like, it seemed like it was unlike any other one. But I mean, from what I watched, it had to probably be Ole Miss, but you know, I watched that with more focused on the atmosphere. But again, Oregon did a great job. The atmosphere for the two teams that were going in there, knowing that they were about to just destroy the nerves are not really there, right? They're there, but we'll get nervous if we have to get nervous. And I felt like those were just parties
and celebrations. Both teams jumped on the opponent quickly. And
but did that change your mind about, or change your thoughts, or do you think it will change the system, the fact that, yes, both blowouts were blowouts that we were expecting? Like, Tulane and JMU didn't do anything. I mean, James Madison was in the game for what?
They covered.
For a second.
Backdoor
they
cover.
They
covered against the Oregon's, like, second.
Yeah, they did.
Team.
Yeah.
They went, like, 95 yards to cover.
Did you think that changes any of – because obviously –
I think the changes were already on. Like, that's the other thing. It's like,
it didn't matter what they did.
They were gonna. I think they're gonna cap it at one G6 spot,
and that rule change will be.
And that was already they'd already agreed to it last spring. It just didn't get reported, or it got reported, and everyone ignored it.
What specifically is the rule change then to prevent?
They're gonna cap the G6 at one spot.
Oh, they can only have one spot.
Correct.
So it's gonna go back to like the. Well, at least that gives us something for sure to debate in case it goes to 16 teams. Then we've
and
got,
I
like,
think that's kind of where...
That is going to be, you know, debate. Should it be Tulane or Memphis or JMU? Who should get this last? We got something.
I kind of net out. I think the G6 should have a spot.
Definitely.
I don't like doing they have to be ranked inside this number because I think that can be too easily manipulated. I want the spot. And I think every single year there will at least be one team that you can sit there and go, like, if Tulane just went and got killed by Oregon, I don't think anyone's really all that upset. It's like the both teams being in there. And then,
well, I mean, one of them would have been Vanderbilt or Notre Dame having that spot. They would have had a chance, theoretically, you would think, to maybe win their games.
I mean,
but
if Ole Miss would have played Notre Dame, I'm not certain they were favored. Doesn't mean I don't think they could have won the game, but I don't know if they would have been favored at home.
Right. And so, it would have made those games more interesting, but every team left out had just as much chance of winning the whole thing as JMU and Tulane. I feel like I would not bet. I know you're a Notre Dame believer for whatever reason because they had great losses, but you have to win to advance in this playoff system here. But I don't think anybody left out could have won.
No, I think
right?
I,
so like, it's
I
not
think,
like they're taking a spot
Notre Dame
of a potential
winner. I think Notre Dame could have won games.
A game, yes, but
win
the whole
I think
thing.
This has always been my argument. It's like, I don't feel like last year any champion got left out, and I don't feel like this year a champion got left out.
But the point is to qualify by the rules that are out there, right? You got to qualify. You got to position yourself to get a spot. You got to qualify.
The rules
for the spot.
Were not a secret.
Notre Dame
Everybody knew what the rules were.
Notre Dame didn't qualify. You know, those other teams didn't qualify to get a spot. And I don't think they should change the rules to prevent it because it will only make it harder. And it's going to be harder.
No, it was a tough weekend for Notre Dame because Notre Dame was really clutching their pearls with Alabama didn't belong. And then Alabama falls behind 17-0. And then they didn't let Mateer cook yet. And then Mateer started really cooking.
But is there a scenario where the team from a G6 team can get home field advantage, you think, in the first round at some point? You think, or they're gonna rig it now where that's not gonna be able to happen?
So I think those are two separate questions. I mean, Boise last year would have had a home game.
They would have, yeah.
I think they would have. But
they had a top four seed. They had a top four seed.
I also think if Boise would have played, I think if Boise would have played like, you know, if last year's Boise team plays this year's Oklahoma team, I think that was probably a decent game.
Yeah, but every year we go every year.
Well, this is going to be the question: is are we getting
going to be harder?
Is the gap getting wider and wider and wider?
Right,
because Tulane is a decently funded G5 program. And I mean, you could see it in warmups. I mean, we've now seen Ole Miss and Tulane play twice, and they played the exact same game.
Yeah, I mean, it does not.
One time they won 45-10, the other time they won 41-10.
And we watch a lot of these from the Memphis perspective, right? And we talk for months. I spend half my year talking about how important it is for Memphis to make it to these playoffs. At the end of the day, making it there is a huge accomplishment and something that you want to do. But I mean, obviously they're not going to be able to, it's being shown that no matter how great the Memphis team is going to be, it's going to be hard for them to do anything in the playoffs, but just getting there is what they need to do so they can get hopefully to a better conference to get the money and succeed down the line. It's all about positioning yourself further down the line. Do we feel like it helped Tulane this weekend or helped James? I think James Madison definitely was helped. In some way, public perception of James Madison was helped by the fact that they were in the playoffs.
I think
because they were off my football radar.
I just think it's tough to say one because like both schools are going to have new head coaches next year, new staff. Like that's going to be the thing that'll be interesting. Is like the G6 teams that make the playoff. How many times are they going to be bringing their coach back the next year?
And how many? Yeah.
I mean, because, right, you got to think almost every G6.
But that's going to limit it to one team now, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be one G6 team. You make it to the playoffs, you're going to get a new job. It's more motivation, more than whatever your bonus. My goodness, like your team's going to give you a bonus if you make it, plus you're probably going to get a new job.
Shout out to Lane. Made $250,000 from LSU.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Got picked up that bonus. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to discuss, we've got more on the future of FanDuel Sports Network and their parent company. Let's talk about that when we come back. About where we might be watching Grizzlies games in the future. Stick around and listen to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, boys. So we had this story from last week where we learned from the Wall Street Journal that Main Street Sports, which is the owner of the FanDuel branded regional sports network, which where we watch the Grizzlies, they were looking to have a big merger with DAZN, which is a London-based company. We see them here mostly with boxing and premium sporting events. And well, then it turned out, according to Tom Friend of the Sports Business Journal, that story leak might have been coming from the Main Street Sports Group, because the FanDuel Sports Groups are at serious risk of dissolving unless the previously reported sale to the streaming platform DAZN closes in January. The news comes as Main Street missed a December rights payment to the St. Louis Cardinals. The company's 29 combined franchises between the NBA, NHL, and MLB are similarly at risk of missing media rights payments in the coming months. According to Tom Friend, if the DAZN purchase does not close, Main Street will, quote, wind down and dissolve. The FanDuel Sports Network at the end of this year's NBA and NHL regular seasons, though the NBA is seemingly preparing for a scenario in which the company could fold in the middle of the season. Should that occur, the league will step in and utilize its League Pass platform for the 13 teams currently airing on FanDuel Sports Networks. In this scenario, teams would need to scramble to ink linear distribution deals with local over-the-air affiliates in order to remain on traditional television platforms. One NBA executive called that scenario, quote, our worst fear, according to the Sports Business Journal. Main Street Sports Group, of course, is the successor of Diamond Sports, the company that emerged from a lengthy Chapter 11 bankruptcy dispute about a year ago after submitting a go-forward plan that involved reducing rights payments for its affiliated teams. Those reduced payments could still offer significantly higher rates for the franchises rather than over-the-air partnership would, than the over-the-air partnership would, which explains why so many teams have stayed with their regional sports networks despite the declining economics of the business. So essentially, here's where we are. It's now coming to a head to where if the FanDuel Sports Networks are going to survive, they need this partnership with DAZN. And while DAZN's not this massive sports company, it is healthy, and they're sitting here having to weigh, what is the payoff for us of acquiring these when they haven't been healthy? Fox sold them off, and now the purchaser is going to go bankrupt and possibly out of business by doing this. So, like, in the short term, it seems like if the deal doesn't go through, that somehow League Pass will be an option, but then it seems like they'll try to ink a deal. Like, they've already started doing the sometimes having the games on WMC with,
right,
I believe Gray Media is the company that owns WMC, and yes, I believe that's they've statewide. But this is, this just feels to me like this is ending.
That, I mean, yeah, I mean the reports, and this when I saw this story, I started like searching to see like who is saying what about it. We don't have much information from the Memphis perspective, and it's always been, we're talking about how many teams are there again? That so the
29 total, 13 NBA.
13 NBA teams, but like there are so many, nearly 30 pro teams, which is, that includes hockey. So you're taking, it's a fourth of the professional sports teams play the four major sports, about a fourth of them play on this, because it's about 30 teams in a league and there's four leagues. So about a fourth of them are on these TV channels and are going to have to figure out what they're going to do.
The most watched teams in the area for us are all on regional sport, on this one.
What do the other
Grizzlies,
teams
Predators,
do?
The Braves and the Cardinals.
What do the other teams do that are not on this? So we get like the NFL is easy to understand. So really, we say a fourth, but really the NFL does not participate in this structure.
The NFL operates like a union. They package their rights together.
So really, it's a third of the three major sports leagues that participate.
Yeah.
In this, a third of them are on this. What is the other two thirds? What do they do?
So according to the other story that I read this weekend, basically 28 of the 30 NBA teams would probably be down for some type of package the rights together, the local rights together, and sell it as essentially another league pass. The two that would be against it most likely are the Lakers and the Knicks because they have extremely lucrative local television deals.
That, right. I mean, the MSG network, we're aware of that.
And then I think the Lakers are with Time Warner, whatever.
Is it Spectrum?
Yeah, I think they're with one of the cable, but they're essentially just an RSN that has Lakers games, and that's how they survive.
So right. We'd be going back to like an NBA TV, but like League Pass.
I think
how you'd watch.
I think the way that, yes, I would think of it like basically the NBA would be trying to gobble up and create a home for you to watch these. The problem would then become no NBA team so far has been willing to completely abandon linear television. And so
sure.
do you sell off the digital rights to that streamer, whatever that would be, and then you try to ink some deal with one of the local affiliates or somebody along those lines? But those have, if sadly, no, I mean, if so, like that, if that plan worked, there'd be more people that would be interested in it, but it's not worked for the Jazz. I'm trying to think who else. I think the Suns tried it.
Which is doing
essentially, you can purchase their digital rights games, but they also inked a deal with one of the local affiliates to show the game. And then I think Tim was saying in Vegas, the Golden Knights essentially partnered with a local television channel, and they basically just built a new TV channel that just basically has Golden Knights games.
Yeah, but at this point, it's going to be so many teams.
Correct.
At the same time, are going to be searching for new homes, and they're going to do it not by choice.
Correct.
And that's, you know, some of these, like the Golden Knights, probably figured, hey, this is probably a better plan for us, and they have leverage in some negotiations and partnerships. There are more than ever local channels. Like, you know, if you ever flip over to the antenna, Jeffrey, I know you still got the cord, but, you know, I don't have the cord.
I still have a antenna. We just don't use it.
Yeah, flip over there. But, you know, you get 3.1, 3.2, 3.3, 3.4. You know, there's like all of these point channels.
I told you, that's where I've discovered. I always thought Comet was a fake thing that would just show up on Grizzlies ads. No, right. That's where Comet is.
And you can watch classic reruns of all types.
Pretty
of stuff.
Sure that's where we can still watch the Lone Ranger.
Yes. But, you know, they've updated, you know, some of the old stuff. But and it's great picture quality, right? Like, there's real estate over the air, but also, like, I mean, I don't know what I would recommend and what would make money. Could the Grizzlies make the same amount of money just doing it themselves and having it be on YouTube?
I think that's what we figured, because there were some NBA teams that went ahead and tried it, and it's like even the Jazz. I think the Jazz said basically they're not even making half of what they would have made under their old TV agreement, because essentially you're having to. An NBA team is not a television network. And, you know, like, you don't have the relationships
The Grizzlies have a TV studio.
Right, but it's one thing to have the infrastructure. It's another thing to also, A, they don't have a truck. Like, they don't have a location where they can put it. And then they don't run a TV. More importantly, like, they don't run the sales side of a TV network. Like, essentially, you'd be hitting up basically the same people that you're trying to buy your corporate entity.
So what do they do? So, I mean, the story here is, it does seem like something that's been a story, right? It seems like something we've talked about every few months. Like, it doesn't look great for the local broadcast of not only this, you pointed out, it's not only the NBA, it's Cardinals, it's Braves games, it's what do you do in this? And this is a huge pivotal moment, really, because if all of these teams lose their home at the same time, there either needs to be some type of new innovative way of doing it. Like you said, the league working together to formulate something, but still, I feel like your exposure there is missing that you would get that from any other way. Cause you have to like buy your way in. How else are you getting it without having to sign up for the app? Like, see, that's the only way you're going to be able to get it. If you paid for like an NBA streaming app, additional charges for Knicks or the Lakers, and that would start, you know, or is it just, I could see it being, you could have this league pass thing just for certain teams. And if a team wanted to opt out, they could opt out.
Yeah, like a smaller version, like a lesser version of league pass. I mean, the issue, though, is,
if it's Grizzlies versus Lakers, would it be available on there?
Right. If all 20, you know, if 28 of 30 teams don't agree, or whatever, two of the 30 teams don't agree, how does that impact? It seems to me like,
I mean, you could get more viewers out of this because you're going to have the fan who moved away, the Grizzlies fan who lives in New York now, has an easy way to. And I know now they do with the FanDuel app, but like they can access it.
It seems to me like if you're the NBA, you probably find out, okay, which of our corporate partners do we need to sweeten the deal with the most? Like, are you just going to take this to ESPN's new app?
Amazon was always a talking
are you gonna,
point.
Are you going to take it to Amazon, or what if you put it on Peacock? Like, what if you want to make this NBC deal?
Wouldn't ESPN have the rights to all of this stuff if they thought it worked?
No,
ESPN one I find the most interesting, because that's how the NHL currently does it, and that seems to be be a deal that is working out well for the league.
Is it like ESPN Plus is like who would be doing these games or something? Yeah, would it be called the FanDuel Network? It'd be ESPN Plus games?
I mean, that's always the question of, would it just be part of your ESPN Unlimited subscription?
I think it would be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.